Amen. Not a person in this place tonight that doesn't need forgiveness. And I mean more than once, too. I know I need it a bunch of times every day. Not sure my wife always gives it to me. Just stop right there for a minute. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. What is it that you need God to forgive you of tonight? There's no sin that you have committed. There's no deed that you have done. There's no sin of omission, things that you should have done that you hadn't done, that transcends God's forgiveness. There's only one thing that can't be forgiven. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, or rejecting that voice of the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart that compels you to come to Christ. And you're constantly saying, no, not now, some other time. I have too many wild oats to sow. I don't need that. No, that's for sissies. Whatever excuse you've given, God cannot forgive that. And if you're one of those people that thinks that God always gets his way, that you're made out of a cookie cutter, and that whatever's meant to be is going to happen, and that you have no bearing in the outcome of it, I'm going to prove to you scripturally that you're wrong. The Lord said in his word, beloved, I would that none should perish. It's my will that no one goes to hell. I would that no one perish, but that all. Now, in Louisiana, where I'm from, all means all. That's all means. But that all might pass from death unto life. You see, when you hear the word or the question, are you saved? Skeeter's dad asked me that probably 35 years ago. He said, Dennis, are you saved? I said, yes, sir, Brother Paul. Well, what are you saved from? I'm saved from the law of sin and death. There is a law that we're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us perfect or righteous in and of ourselves. We all stand in need of the forgiveness of a holy God. In fact, do you remember the story where the woman was taken in adultery? In the very act. Meaning she was more than likely naked. And she was drug into the streets and thrown at the feet of Jesus because, you see, they wanted to have something that they could use against Jesus. And you know the story how he knelt down and he began to write in the dirt. Now, various Bible scholars, of which I'm not one, have their own interpretations as to what he possibly was writing. I don't know what he wrote. But then when he said, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. And it says they all begin to drop their rocks. From the eldest to the least, it began to walk away. You see, the ones that would have stoned her couldn't. But the one that could have stoned her wouldn't, because he forgave her. And I'm telling you tonight, by the Spirit of God, there are some of you in our midst tonight. You feel like you've been so bad so long that that word forgiveness applies to everybody else but you. Are you greater than God? The answer is no. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be washed white as snow. Just one drop of Jesus' blood cleanses us, makes us whole, makes us complete, makes us a new creature, gives us a mulligan, a start over, fresh, with the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, living in us and residing in us to help convict us of wrongs and to convict us of things that we need to start doing and to help us become the person that we need to be. See, the Holy Spirit is the teacher that will lead, guide, and direct into all truths. As you get into the Word, the Holy Spirit is the one that causes that Word to illuminate or come alive or turns the light on so that you can begin to understand and to get revelation from it. When Jesus asked Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" He said, "Well, some say you're Elias or Jonas or one of the prophets." In other words, different people were saying different things, just like they are present day. And Jesus pinned him down a little bit. He says, "But who do you say that I am, Peter?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Don't miss this. And Jesus said, "You're a blessed man, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not taught this to you, but my Spirit hath revealed it unto you. And upon this rock I will build my church." Upon what rock? The rock of revelation, the rock of the Holy Spirit revealing and making this become more than ink on paper, making it come alive in your heart, in your spirit, in your mind, in your actions, in your convictions, in the things that you do. Make this come alive. This is not just a book. This is God's will. This is God's purposes. This is God's plan. This is the power of God. God watches over his word to perform it. Why the devil tries so hard to keep us all from partaking and eating of the word and digesting it and get it into our hearts, because as we get more and more of the word, we become more and more a man or woman of faith, because faith becomes what? By the word. You've heard me say this before, and it's true, and I'm going to say it again. You can pray for more faith and pray for more faith and pray for more faith, and you'll never have more faith by prayer alone, because it's prayer. Faith comes by the word. Faith comes by the word. Now we're going to turn in the word. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 7. I need a drink, Skeeter. Hear them pages turn. Luke chapter 7. I'm going to be brief tonight, so if you listen fast as I talk, we're not going to be here long. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table of the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, one of the King James says ointment, and stood at the feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he spoke to himself. In other words, he's thinking, "This man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and he said unto him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing to which to repay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love me more?" Simon answered and he said, "I suppose the one who forgave more." And he said unto him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman hath anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sit at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this, even he who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Woke up this morning and the Lord began, he gave me that phrase from that last line, go in peace. You know, there are songs in Christianity and in the secular world that seem to be written about basically any and everything we can think of. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Tonight the bottle let me down. And grace, grace, more grace, God's grace. But in a nutshell, what the world is looking for is peace and happiness and love and a sense of purpose. In fact, psychologists say you need two things to have a sense of value, self-worth. Love, that's God, He is love, and a sense of purpose. You've got a purpose. God has a plan for your life. Maybe you haven't discovered it, fulfilled it, or walked in it yet, but He's got a plan for your life. I want you to back up there and notice that when He said, I came into your house and you gave me no water for my feet. See, that was a custom back then. People had been traveling and walking on those dusty roads, and when you came into someone's house, they gave you water to wash your feet. He didn't do that. This fine religious Pharisee. Scott Kemp calls them the scribes and parasites. So he didn't give me any water, but then you gave me no kiss. They were supposed to greet one another with a holy kiss. Jesus talked about how this woman had not stopped kissing his feet. Great humility, very humbling to get on her knees, kiss his feet. But I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about that go in peace. How do you do that? How does that happen? And it's going to all be found back over in verse 38. I'm going to read the verse, then I want to talk about it. And stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with the tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. The first phrase in there is that how she began to weep. Weeping denotes remorse, regret, sorrow, repentance. We see later on in this passage how the Lord would forgive her of her sins. And the first thing that just jumped out at me as I read this passage of Scripture is how she wept because she knew that she was a woman of sin. She knew that she was a person that the people in that city knew her reputation, her history, her track record. In fact, the Message translation, I read it in there in my office a while ago, it says that she was a harlot, a prostitute. And the whole town knew it. And I'm sure that just like she, just like those of us today that walk around carrying sin, I've done it. Sin is heavy. The guilt and the weight of sin will wear you out. It will get too heavy to journey on down the road with. The way that you get rid of sin is repent. Repent. Repent's one of those words that has two meanings. One means to turn around and go the other way. Live a different lifestyle than you're living. Turn and go the opposite direction. God will help you do that. But there's a lot of Christians that need to repent tonight. The other definition of that means to change the way you think. There's a whole lot of us that need to change the way that we think. Secondly, I'd like to call your attention to the phrase where she said, it says that she wiped them, meaning his feet, with the hair of her head. In those days, a woman's glory was her hair. That's why even to this day in some religions, they don't cut their hair. But a woman's glory was her hair. And what this is saying to me is that she was given her identity. She was given willing to give her glory. She was given willing to give what she had and who she was to him. She swallowed her pride and gave up what she had to him. Thirdly, says that she kissed his feet. Kissing denotes love, adoration, respect, reverence. If we're going to ever walk in peace, we're going to have to get to that place where we fall in love with the Prince of Peace, where we hang out with him, where we respect and reverence not just what he's done, but who he is, the essence of who he is. He's God in the flesh. Keeping in mind that while he was on this earth, he was tempted and tried and tested in every way that you and I have been. That's why he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. When we come to him with a prayer request of an addiction or a sin or whatever the case may be, he understands. He can empathize with you. He's felt what you feel. Remember when he who knew no sin became sin, when he took on the weight of the world, all of our sins and all of the world's sins at one time, he took it. And the agony and the shame and the pain and the suffering and the humiliation and the rejection. He felt it all. If you've ever felt used and abused, he's felt it. You ever felt betrayed, denied, lied upon, forsaken, rejected? He's felt it. But he loves you. And he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way to the very end. I'll be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's my Jesus. Fourthly, it talks about the ointment or the fragrant oil. This represents her best. You see, unfortunately, the church world is full of people that want to give God what's convenient for them to give or what's left over. And I'm not just talking about your money. Don't go there. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your talents. I'm talking about your money. I'm talking about whatever it is that you can just say, God, I want to give you my best. If you're a professional cowboy, dedicate your rope to him. Every time they stick that microphone in your face to give an interview, tell them who you give glory to. Tell them who you honor. Tell them that roping's not who you are, it's just what you do. If you're a businessman, study those plans. Work hard. Apply yourself. And then ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask him to help you, to be sensitive as to not turn that bid in because you don't really need that job. It might look like you do, but you might not really need that job. There's a storm coming. See, he's the one that sees down the road far enough ahead that he can give you discernment if you'll listen to it. He can help you avoid a whole lot of tragedies if you offer him your best. Hold nothing back. And then in verse 50, we see where her faith caused her sins to be forgiven. Jesus said in his word that if we call upon his name and trust him and believe in our heart, doubt not, our sins will be cleansed and forgiven. We become a child of God. This makes us have a relationship with the Lord. You see, when we cry out and we repent and he forgives us, recognize that there's a transition. There's something that happens at that moment. Dead sinful man passes away. Blood bought, born again, Christian begins. You become the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in him. Old things pass away. All things become new. It's important that you follow the Lord in baptism. It's important that you immerse yourself in the Word. It's important that you surround yourself with people that can encourage you in the right things to do, that can lead a life of an example in front of you. Best sermons are always what? Seen, not heard. Hang out with people that inspire you to be better than you are. Hang out with the kind of people that there's just something about them that makes you go, I need to be more like that. If you hang with them, you will be more like that. And when that happens, when you begin to fellowship with the Lord, the Prince of Peace, peace comes. You can go into this chaotic world in peace. Because Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, but my peace. Money can't buy it. I can't teach you how to obtain it other than surrender your life to Christ. Would you bow your heads? I know this is a short and a simple word tonight. You're in this house. You're in chaos. Your life's in storms. And you need the peace of God. You need your sins forgiven. And you're ready to say, I've tried it my way long enough. I have sure made a mess of things. I'd like to surrender my life to Jesus. If that's you, could I see your hand? Anyone, anywhere? Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Anyone else? Quickly, slip it up, slip it right back down. Yes, sir, thank you. Anyone in the balcony, anywhere? Yes, sir. Anyone else? Slip it up, slip it right back down. This is your moment. This is between you and God. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Dennis, I am a Christian, but I've lost focus. And I've become mesmerized and eaten up by I've become entangled with the cares of life. And I'm just on the machine and I'm wearing myself out and I'm letting the pressures of life beat me up, and I know that I don't have to. Tonight, I want to turn that all over to Jesus and embrace the peace that only he can give. If that's you, could I see your hand? Anyone? Yes. Several hands across this place. Look up here at me for just a moment. I love to tell you this every week. God's simple plan of salvation is that if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to this earth, was tempted and tried in all ways that you and I are, but he was without sin. He stayed faithful to the mission for which he came, to shed sinless blood, to purchase sinful man back to God. And he died on a cross and shed that pristine blood, died, but he didn't stay dead. He walks out of that grave Easter Sunday morning, alive with the keys of death, hell, and the grave, showing that his ability and his willingness that none should perish, but that we could all pass from death unto life. And the Word of God says that if we believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, then we're saved. Are you going to live a perfect, sinless life? I doubt it. But if you'll keep coming to Him, His grace will be sufficient. And He'll dust you off, and He'll clean you up. He'll put you back in the race so that you can run in a way that which you can win. So with that knowledge, would you bow your head? And you got to believe in your heart, and you got to confess with your mouth. My prayers can't save you. If they could, everybody I meet would be saved. Unfortunately, they're not. But I'm going to lead you in a prayer in case you don't know how to pray. And it's the heart that makes the difference. So let's pray. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I do believe that you're God's Son who loved me enough to die in my place. But I also believe you didn't stay dead, that you're alive. You've conquered death, hell, and the grave. You stand ready tonight to forgive my sins. So I ask you now to forgive me, to cleanse me with your blood, to come into my life, make me that new creature, make me a child of God. Help me to learn your voice, to learn your ways, so that I can live a life that brings glory to you and pleasure to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, you saw many people raise their hands in this house that are feeling the pressures of life, the fires and life. And God, as they refocus tonight and as they put their eyes back on you, I pray just as you've done so many times throughout history and in your word, where you've stepped on the scene and said, peace, peace. Whether it's to a physical condition or to a troubled relationship or financial needs or direction, whatever the circumstance, Lord, we ask you to speak peace and do it in a way that not one of us can question your presence and your power, and that you've made the difference. And we'll be sure to say thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.